السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. هاو يا شيخ؟
طيب الحمد لله.
الحمد لله. إن شاء الله بقى ستارت ذا لسن. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. May Allah bless you all for your attendance. Today we are covering the Days of Ignorance by Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. Just a quick reminder, please take notes, listen attentively, and send your questions over to me throughout the course of the lesson. With that said, I'll hand it back to the Sheikh to start the lesson. Barakallah fikum. Assalamu alaikum.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته، جزاك الله خير. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, مسائل الجاهلية, the issues of Jahiliyyah, by the Imam al-Mujaddid Muhammad عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. And in the last session, we started issue number 20, اعتقادهم في مخاريق السحرة وأمثالهم أنها من كرامات الصالحين. ونسبته إلى الأنبياء كما نسبوه لسليمان عليه السلام. This is one of the issues of the people of Jahiliyyah. They considered the tricks the sorcerers and magicians perform that these are karamat or miracles performed upon the hand, their hands, and these miracles are also attributed to Allah's prophets, because those charlatans, sorcerers, they are special people, so they perform such supernatural phenomena, and also they attributed the same thing to Allah's prophets. And we talked about the sihr, the reality of the sihr, that sorcery or magic is, it exists, and it is a fact. And there are different types of magic or different types of sihr. One type of it, they just deceive your eyes. That is what the magicians did when they threw their robes. Those who magicians who were challenging Musa alayhi salam, so they deceived the eyes of the people. So it appeared, it seemed that the robes became snakes, when in reality the robes remained as robes. But when Musa alayhi salam, he threw his staff, his stick became a real serpent and swallowed the robes. So that's why they immediately prostrated and believed in Allah Azza wa Jalla. So that's one type of the sihr. There are other types of sihr, which is the spell, casting spells on people, and this can cause even death, can cause someone to die, or can cause someone to become insane, or cause someone to fall sick or cause someone to be unable to function sexually. Okay, then that is called bewitchment. So there are different types of sihr al-iyadu billah. And Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the belief of the Muslims, the Salaf, the three generations, they approve of that we cannot deny that the sihr exists and it can harm someone by Allah's, of course, Allah's permission, by Allah's leave. Only the deviant sects such as the Mu'tazilites, the Mu'tazila, deny that. And of course, those who deal, who practice this, what they call it, the black art or witchcraft, they deal with the shayateen, they deal with the jinn. And the jinn will not help them until they human, I mean the human beings who are dealing with the jinn, blaspheme and commit kufr and leave Islam, then they will start cooperating and helping each other. That we covered in the last session. And we continue this issue. روى الإمام البخاري من حديث عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال يقول انطلق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال سالم سمعت عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما يقول انطلق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأبي بن كعب الأنصاري يؤمان النخلة التي فيها ابن صياد حتى إذا دخل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم طفق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتقي بجذوع النخل وهو يختل أن يسمع من ابن صياد شيئا قبل أن يراه وابن صياد مضطجع على فراشه في قطيفة له فيها رمرمة أو زمزمة فرأت أم ابن صياد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو يتقي بجذوع النخل فقالت لابن صياد أي صافي هذا محمد أي صاف هذا محمد فتناهى ابن صياد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لو تركته بين لو تركته بين رواه البخاري. The meaning narrated Abdullah ibn Umar, and this is in Bukhari, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ubay ibn Ka'b al-Ansari went to the garden where Ibn Sayyad used to live. When Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the garden, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, started hiding himself behind the date palm trees, as he wanted to hear secretly the talk of Ibn Sayyad before the latter saw him. Ibn Sayyad, wrapped with a soft decorated sheet, was lying on his bed murmuring. So he was covering with a piece of cloth. Ibn Sayyad's mother saw the Prophet ﷺ hiding behind the trunks of the date palm trees. She addressed Ibn Sayyad saying, "O Saf, this is Muhammad." Hearing that, Ibn Sayyad stopped murmuring or got cautious. The Prophet ﷺ said, if she had left him undisturbed, He would have revealed his reality. Many of you maybe they don't know what is this Ibn Siyad. Ibn Siyad is a human being living in Medina. And before Allah informed his, and he of course he's dealing with the jinn, and he performs many things which are not within the capacity of a human being. The jinn, they help him. So before Allah informed his prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Dajjal, the Antichrist, will not never enter Mecca and Medina. So he thought maybe this is the Dajjal. Maybe this is the Dajjal. Because the Dajjal is a human being. Dajjal is a human being. And of course, he's alive. A Dajjal is a human being and he is alive. And the famous hadith of Al-Jassas on Sahih Muslim, Tamim al-Dari. And the Prophet ﷺ told us about the Dajjal that he is locked in an island. Where is that island? We don't know. And when Allah wants him to come out, he will come out. Now he is locked and tied with chains. Tamim al-Dari saw him. But Tamim al-Dari, was traveling, and the ship sank, and so he managed. Many of them, they managed to reach the shores, and they saw an animal, and that animal led them to the Dajjal. And as you know, the he asked them many questions. He asked them about the date palm trees of Baisan. Do they still bear fruit or not? Now we ask the people, they say they don't bear fruit anymore. So we are approaching the hour. So the Prophet, and of course, the Dajjal is the biggest fitna. And all messengers and prophets of Allah, they warn their followers against the Dajjal. And he's blind, he's one-eyed, awwal. And even the other eye is not that perfect, protruding like a piece of grape. And it's the power of seeing is weak. It is written on his forehead. Whoever read the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf will be able, he will be protected from his fitna. And it is written on his forehead, kafara, kafir. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna Dajjala a'war wa ma rabbukum bi'a'war." The Dajjal, the Antichrist, is one eye, and your Lord is not one-eyed. Because he claims divinity, that he is Allah. This is the Dajjal. And you know, when he comes out, he tries to enter Mecca and Medina, and the Malaika, they stop him. Then he heads towards Ash-Sham, and there Isa alayhi salam, Jesus Christ, will descend and come down, and he is the one who's going to kill the Dajjal with the spear. That's the Dajjal. The Prophet ﷺ told Ibn Siyyad, maybe he is the Dajjal before Allah informed him. So he decided to check him and to test this Ibn Siyad. So that's why he went and he was walking in a subtle way, stealthily, carefully, not in order to hear what he's saying. Ibn Siyad's mother, she saw the Prophet ﷺ while hiding behind the trunks of the date palm trees. Sure, so she warned her son. He was covered in this sheet, piece of cloth, and he was murmuring. And the Prophet wanted to hear what he was saying. So when his mother warned him, he stopped. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لو تركته بين, had she left him murmuring, then we would know and discover his real nature. In another narration, Sayyidina Umar said to the Prophet, let me kill him. The Prophet told Sayyidina Umar, if he is the Dajjal, you are not the one who is going to kill him. The Dajjal is going to be killed by Isa alayhi salam. Then here the Prophet ﷺ, he tested Ibn Siyad. He tested him. He told him, I have hidden something for you. What is it? He started saying, Adukh, Adukh, Adukh. The Prophet said, Ikhsa falan ta'adu qadra. He couldn't say Ad-Dukhan, but the Prophet had Surah Ad-Dukhan for him. So he started saying Ad-Dukh, Ad-Dukh, Ad-Dukh. He couldn't say Ad-Dukhan. Then the Prophet ﷺ asked him, what do you see? He said, I see a throne, big throne, and there are people around it. He said, yes, that's the throne of Iblis. Because Iblis, the one who came down with our father Adam and our mother Eve, alayhim as-salam, is still with us on earth. And he has his throne, the water. And every day he sends, you know, his children and his supporters and helpers to mislead people and to incite them to commit crimes and to commit sins, etc. So here the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, that is the Arsh Iblis, the throne of Iblis. And I want you to understand one thing. One of the articles of faith, al-imanu bil-ghayb, that we believe in the unseen. Whatever Allah told us and whatever our Prophet ﷺ told us, we believe in it. And Allah praised the mu'mineen in Surah Al-Baqarah, alladhina yu'minuna bil-ghayb, those who believe in the unseen. Because some of the da'is nowadays, may Allah guide them, they became materialistic. And they are influenced, you know, by the shubuhat of the Orientalists and the atheists. And they are trying, you know, to rationalize everything. No, you cannot. And this technique doesn't work. They tried it many before you. Muhammad Abdo, he tried it before you. To maybe this will convince the Europeans. When they asked him about the Surat al-Fil, that the incident of the elephant, that Allah sent birds carrying baked stones and destroyed the entire army. So he said, no, these were microbes, germs, viruses. Not birds carrying stones. And you find many, many, I don't want to mention names, in the YouTube. They misconstrue the text, twist the text, thinking that by doing so, they will convince those whom they are talking to. No. That's not permissible. That's wrong approach. Okay? Allah didn't say germs or microbes, he said birds. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. Birds, little birds. And Quraysh, they saw the birds. That's why no one objected, because everyone saw the birds came. Because to try to render the text metaphorically, figuratively, that's where many of the Islamic sect deviated and went astray. So a Dajjal exists. Like, yes, Iblis exists. Because the argument is the following. The satellites are filling the space, scanning the earth 24/7. So, where is this Dajjal? Where is this Gog and Magog that they are trapped behind the wall, which Dhulqarnayn constructed and built? This is their argument. We tell them, listen, if Allah doesn't want you to see it, is it difficult for him? Of course not. Don't you know, in spite of all these satellites, every day, now and then, they say, oh, we discovered a group of people in the forests of the Amazon. Before, we didn't see them. The satellite didn't spot them. So, this argument is so weak. So don't try to misconstrue the text and reject the apparent meaning. Otherwise, by the same token, if you are saying, no, there's nothing called the Dajjal there, the Dajjal is only this new world order. You know that? Oh, yes. Go on the net and you'll see. Dajjal is the new world order. Not a human being. No, no. It is this system, the system. So the Dajjal is a human being, and the Ahadith described him. So you cannot deny that. Otherwise, you have to deny that Shaitan, Iblis, is there on earth, because you can't see him. And your satellites cannot show you Iblis and his colony. So, by the same token, by the same argument, say Shaitan is not there. Just in the same way you deny that Gog and Magog are not there. Or you try to say, oh, maybe the Gog and Magog are the Chinese. Yeah, you hear this argument. How can Gog and Magog will be the Chinese when the Chinese are everywhere? And the Hadith said they are behind the wall. So the wall hasn't collapsed for them to come out. So these are issues you have to relieve and. And when it is time, these things will happen. Then let's come to Ibn Sayyad. So Ibn Sayyad here is a human being. And this was before Allah informed his Prophet ﷺ. And he's living in Medina. He's living in Medina. And Dajjal cannot enter Mecca and Medina. He tries, the Malaika, they stop him. Okay, and the Medina will shake when the Dajjal comes, and all the hypocrites in Medina will come out. There are hypocrites living in Medina, but when the Dajjal comes, they will come and follow him, and they will join his army. And also 70,000 from among the Jews in Isfahan, they will follow him. And the Arab, the Bedouins, will follow him. Because he performs miracles, supernatural things. And a young man will come out and will tell the Dajjal, you are the Dajjal. So the Dajjal cuts him into half. And he walks between the two halves. Then he said to the boy, come back. And now the boy is again alive. He tries to kill the boy. The boy will tell him, the young man will tell him, I am more certain than ever before that you are the Dajjal. Because this is what the Prophet ﷺ said. So here the Dajjal, he deals with the jinn. He deals with the jinn, and the jinn gives him the power and informs him things, etc. So those magicians and sorcerers, they deal with the jinn. Deal with the jinn. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to keep in mind the supernatural events, or supernatural phenomena. These supernatural phenomena, there are different types. Something beyond, of course, it is miraculous by the human standard. No human being can do that. So, but not necessarily that this supernatural action or performance is a sign or a miracle from Allah. No. The miracle, it is something supernatural, but it is performed upon the hands of Allah's prophets and messengers. So what a prophet and messenger performs and shows, that's called mu'jiza, miracle. English, they don't have word for it except in medical. And then we have karama and they have no word for it. Unless you say major miracle and minor one. So the mu'jiza, and it's called mu'jiza because those who are challenged cannot meet the challenge, cannot meet the challenge. So they are ajiz, incapable, incapable. And the mu'jiza, when you challenge someone, in order for that challenge to be meaningful, okay, you challenge me in what I master, what I understand, what I know very well, my bread and butter. You challenge me in that thing. So then if you defeat me, oh, then th that miracle has weightage. Okay. So in for any sport, okay, you cannot, if you are not a boxer, and go and challenge the boxer. And he will look at you. You are so weak and so thin. By just blowing, he will finish you. You don't meet the criteria. Even if he hits you and did something to you, the people will say, so what? Okay? They were not equal. They are not the same. So that victory or winning has no meaning. Meaningless. But if both champions meet, ah yes. That's why the game and the match will be very tough between the two. So when now the messengers and prophets are challenging those whom they were sent to, they will challenge them in something they know very well. Very well. So like Musa alayhis salam, his miracle was in the area which the Egyptians mastered, and that is witchcraft, in the field of witchcraft. That is their expertise. They were known for that. So when Musa alayhi salam, he threw his staff, can be a serpent, the magicians, because they know magic, they realize this is not magic. This is something godly. This is something from Allah, the Creator. Only the Creator can do that. Only the Creator can do that. That's why they immediately turned to Allah and repented. And they forgot all the promises of Pharaoh and the threats. I will kill you. I will crucify you on the trunks of the date palm trees. He said, do whatever you want. We don't care. We only care about one thing, and that is our concern, that our Lord forgives us our sin. That's it. Tell us, you only end this life. We are not interested in this life. So the mu'jiza has to be in something the people they know very well. They mastered it. They are experts. The same thing. The time of our Prophet Isa alayhi salam, medicine. People, experts in medicine. So they have, Isa alayhi salam has to challenge them in the field of medicine. So he was healing the blind and the lepers. And skin disease, and giving life to the dead by Allah's permission. And these things, no one. Medicine by then was incapable to heal those who are born blind. So, this is something supernatural. No human being can give life to the dead. No one. That's why Isa in the Bible said, by myself I can do nothing. He's telling that this is something my Father in heaven is doing this, not to myself. Same thing for the Arabs. Yes, they were unlettered, but they were eloquent. People of eloquence and eloquency, fluent. Everything committed to memory, but they were not able. Their unlettered nation. And those who are lettered, who could read and write, very few. And their writings without dots, no dots in the letters. Even later on, after Islam came, they continued writing without putting the signs or the marks or the dots. So you see Ra, it can be Ra or it can be Zain. You see seen and Sheen, no dots. And they read it correctly. And they read the Quran without making any mistake. You see Sad and Dad. You don't know which one. Va or Ta, you don't know. But they know by default. That's why these dots were placed later on. When non-Arabs became Muslims. Non-Arabs. So then, in order to help them, they started giving them, they placed the dots. That's why this is called Huruf al-Mu'jama. Mu'jama. Because the A'jami is a non-Arab. So this dots were placed to help those who were not Arabs. So the Arabs, by default, they have this talent. Of fasaha, balagha, rhetoric, fluent. They talk without making any grammatical mistake. Today, the Arabs with the dots, with everything, and yet they make mistakes. Why? Because the mother tongue, it's not practiced. The Arabic is not practiced. So while you are talking, you will make mistakes, though you know the grammatical rule. You know it. because you are used to talk, colloquially, in the colloquial language, not in the classic one. But the Arabs at the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, no. All they talk naturally, no mistakes. That's why the grammarians, why we see the rules of grammars. These are attempts made by the grammarians. And most of them, by the way, they were not Arabs. Asma'i, Ibn Jinni, etc., many. They used to go to the desert, to the A'rab, inside the desert, and listen to them, and see how they talk, and they write the grammar. This is how the Arabs talk. And that's when they realize that the speech of the Arabs can only be three types. Whatever an Arab says, it can be either ism, noun, or it can be verb, fi'l, or it can be harf, letter or preposition. That's it. All! The entire Quran, take the whole Quran. Word by word, you will find it either it is a noun, verb, or a letter. Helps. So the Arabs, what was their expertise? What they were excellent in? What was it? The field they mastered, the discipline, the thing that the quality they are unique. This is, they are good at it. What was it? Balaghat, all talking, speech, fluent speech, eloquent speech. So the Quran challenged them in that. So the balagha and the rhetoric of the Quran mesmerize them. Mesmerize them. And they failed to produce something like the Quran. They failed. When they hear the Quran, they become mesmerized. You know Abu Sufyan and Abu Jahl. During the day, they are attacking the Prophet ﷺ, saying he is possessed, he is mad, he is this. Oops. But at night, they go to the Haram, listening to the Haram to listen to his recitation. Everyone will take a corner, enjoy listening to the Quran at night. And many times, Abu Sufyan mentioned this later on when he became a Muslim. Many times they ran into one another in the dark. The whole night they are listening, and now the day is breaking. People will come out and see them. So they had to run to their home. So in the dark, they ran into each other. Oh, Abu Sufyan, what are you doing? Oh, Abu Hakam, what are you doing? Shh, keep quiet. What if the people see us? Keep quiet. I'm a Sumia. Abu Sufyan, this is Abu Jahl, that's Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan, don't come next night. Okay. You promise me you will not come. I promise you. So now everyone thinks that the other one will not come. But they feel there is something like magnet is pulling them. So everyone comes again. And this happened many times. Why? What pulls them? The Quran. The bayan of the Quran. The eloquence of the Quran. They know. They know. This cannot be the speech of a human being. It cannot be. They know that. That's why, if you want to taste the sweetness of the Quran and the balagha of the Quran and the profound meanings of the Quran, master the Arabic language, study Arabic. Otherwise, you will remain reading translations. And translations are not the Quran. You know, translations, not the Quran. By the way, I think recently there is a Quran produced copy of it by according the arrangements according to the revelation. This is wrong approach and unacceptable. The arrangement of the surahs in the Quran is done with Jibreel alayhi salam, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So don't buy such copy of the Quran. Don't buy it. We should not try to do things to the Mus'haf. Mus'haf should remain as is. As is. So if you want to enjoy the sweetness of the Quran, then read Arabic and study Arabic. Without Arabic, you are missing a lot of things. The sweetness, you are missing it. You don't feel it. And the deep meaning. Because there is barrier between you and the Quran, and that is the lugha, the language itself. So this is the mu'jiza. The mu'jiza. And the mu'jiza of the Prophet ﷺ is the Quran. Though he performed other miracles, like the other prophets. The Prophet ﷺ, he performed many miracles. And they gave a long series on this during the talks of the fundamentals of Tawheed. You can listen to them. Okay. But the miracles that all prophets performed were they time bound. They're linked to the time. They are linked to that particular moment of time and that period of time. Because now, for example, these miracles that were performed cannot be replayed. Cannot. If we ask the Jews, show us the miracle of crossing the sea when Moses hit the sea with his staff. They cannot. Show us the miracles performed by Isa alayhi salam. See, it's impossible. So likewise, the Prophet ﷺ, he performed many miracles and we cannot show. Water gushed from among his fingers, Allah. He restored the eye of the companion who came cutting his eye. He spoke to the camel. The trunk started to cry, missing him. He had to come and hug it. Many miracles the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed. Sayyidina Ali, he was having eye ailment. He could not see. He spat into Ali's eye and he was healed immediately. But these miracles we cannot show. But there is one miracle we can give to any human being. See, what is the proof that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a prophet? See, this Quran. Read it objectively. No preconceived notions. No biasing. And you will find that this must be from Allah, the Quran. So the life miracle for our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Quran we have. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged that this Quran will remain and remain preserved in its pure form as came down. And no one can do anything to it. Anyone who tries to do anything, Allah exposes him. Many attempts, they printed many copies with errors. The same time the copy is in the market, Muslim they discover and these copies are taken away. Because the Quran is memorized. Millions and millions of memorizers. If you take, for example, all the Quran today, printed one, copies, in the market, in the masajid, everywhere, you burn them, next day, the Quran is there. Muslims will write it. Because Allah protected it. And that's why in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the Quran, لا يغسله الماء. Al-Quran, لا يغسله الماء. It cannot be washed by water. What does it mean, لا يغسله الماء? If I take a copy of the Quran, put it in the water, the ink will not go? Of course it will go. So what does it mean, it will not be washed by the water? Because it is in your heart. So if the memorizer of the Quran take a dip in the water, Quran is there, which will not be washed. Because the Quran is in the heart. In the heart. Allah protected the Quran. You cannot do anything. So, now, here, this is the mu'jiza. Anyone wants to know what is the proof for the truthfulness of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is the proof for his messiahship and prophethood? We say this book, the Quran. And you have to keep also, remember one thing also, that the Quran was transmitted orally. Oral transmission, besides the writing, but oral. And we read it with the sheikh. And the sheikh, he read it from his sheikh until you reach the Sahaba. Those who told the Tabi'in. And the Sahaba, they heard the recitation from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we are reading the Quran and even the Qira'at, the seven Qira'at and the ten Qira'at, the seven modes of recitation and the ten modes of recitation, because that's how the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam read the Quran and reached us with the Isnad, just in the same way the other Ahadith reached us. So the Quran is protected, alhamdulillah. So that's why this is the living miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's the mu'jiza. First one, first type of this supernatural phenomena. Second thing is called al-karama. Al-karama. Which is no words for it in English. It is a form of a miracle, something supernatural, and it is done upon the hand of a pious, righteous person, one of Allah's awliya. And Allah lets this happen to strengthen people's iman. And the karamat and happened more in the later generations than the former. Because the iman started to get weaker and weaker, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to strengthen people's iman, He showed them some supernatural phenomena, which is the karama. Or sometimes because of there was a challenge, like Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid, he drank poison and didn't harm him. Okay. The Sahaba also, they crossed the stream of water. Okay, with their animals, with their horses, and nothing happened to them. Something that was karama. What happened to Maryam alayhi salam, Mary? كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّا الْمِحْرَابَ وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا. Every time Zechariah visited her, he would find fruit there with her. Fruit that supposed to be in another season. There's another season of this fruit. This is karama. Karama. Zunira, when they locked her in the in Mecca, the mushriks were torturing her. No food, no drink. Allah sends her down from heaven. Bucket of water comes down. And she drinks from it. And then she asks Allah to restore, because they beat her, they tortured her severely, and she lost her sight. And they said, this is the curse of our gods, the idols. So she asked Allah to restore her sight, and Allah restored her sight. So these are karamat. And Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, they believe in the karamat. And Imam Lailaka'i, I think in volume number 8, it is only on karamat that happened. So we don't deny the karamat if it's done upon the hand of a pious, righteous person who is abiding by Kitab and Sunnah. Because this is the key word. But if he's not following Kitab and Sunnah and something happened, supernatural, then it is shayateen, they help him. You see non-Muslims, they do many things. They can walk on the water or sit on glowing charcoals. So shayateen, they help that. You cannot say he is one of Allah's awliya. He is one of the Satan, devil's awliya. That's why Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he wrote his book Al-Furqan Bayna Awliya Rahman wa Awliya Shaitan, the criterion between Allah's allies, Allah's friends, and the devil's friends. And Imam Shafi'i said, if you see a man flying in the sky or walking on the water, do not believe him until you check him against Kitab and Sunnah. Put him on the criterion, okay, on the scale of the Sharia. Okay. And many of the deviant Sufis, oh, they always talk about the karamat, our sheikh did this, our sheikh did that, etc. Okay. And there are many books like Tabaqat al-Awliya al-Sha'rani and Tabaqat al-Dhif Allah, and many books. And if you read them, there are many things that you will laugh and you will maybe faint of laughing. And they say these are Allah's awliya. They say these are shayateen, not awliya of Allah. Not awliya of Allah. And there are things mentioned there I cannot mention to you. X-rated. X-rated. The wali doing shameful deeds, committing haram with animals, and this is one of Allah's awliya? Come on! What is going on? These books should be burnt. Not referred to and consider them as references. But if he is upon Kitab and Sunnah or something, and also you have to keep in mind that if something happened upon your hand, karama, you have to hide it. You conceal it. You don't mention it. Don't mention it. But when we, the Sufis, oh, our Sheikh did this because he talks about what these things happen. Our Sheikh, he prays all the five prayers in the haram. That's why he doesn't come to the masjid. Why? Because wasala. He reached where? To Jahannam. He reached. So he doesn't pray. The pen now is not writing against him. One of the Salaf said, لَقَدْ وَصَلَ وَلَكِنْ إِلَى سَقَرْ. He reached the hellfire, yes. But they will tell you, yeah, all the prayers, five prayers, our Sheikh is in the haram. MashaAllah, in the haram, yeah. If that is happening, who takes him? Does he have jet? Airplane? No. So who carries him? Shayateen. Who know that? And we know the shayateen, they will carry you only after you leave Islam. After you leave Islam. Then no problem. They will take you wherever you want. One of those magicians who repented, and he talked about what they used to do. He said, we fly and we see this, the world, jinn, they carry us. Or some they say, every year our Shaykh goes to Hajj. And the people on the day of Arafah, they saw him there. Yeah. Can happen. And Eid day, he's back. This is super, super express Hajj. Eid, he's back. Day of Arafah, he's in Makkah. And the people, they see him there. The shayateen, they carry him. Shaitan. And Sheikh al-Islam, he talked about that, and he said, they cross the miqat without ihram, and they don't stay the days of Mina, and all these things. Because Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he exposed them. He exposed those charlatans. And he challenged them, the Sufiyyah. And you see, subhanAllah, recently, amazing. And you see in the YouTube, one of those Sufis is saying Ibn Taymiyyah al-Sufi, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Sufi, and he is reading from Madari al-Salikin. So you see, they are Sufis. He tells them, slow down. Ibn Taymiyyah exposed the Sufis. And he challenged them. Ibn Taymiyyah, yes, was Alim Rabbani, following Kitab and Sunnah. His student Ibn al-Qayyim was Sufi. Was Sufi. And he said that about himself, that he was Sufi. Then he met his sheikh, and his sheikh placed him on the right track. He had a debate, Ibn Taymiyyah, with the Bata'ihiyya, is one of the Sufi orders, Sufi groups at his time. In the presence of the governor in Damascus. And their sheikh said, Ibn Taymiyyah, we entered the fire. Are you ready to enter the fire with us? He said, yes. Ibn Taymiyyah said. Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, before that debate, I prepared myself. And by, of course, ad'iya and salawat. And I was confident that the fire would not burn me. And I was ready. And he, of course, Ibn Taymiyyah is a polymath. Polymath. So he read about their tricks. And he found out that before they entered the fire, they applied certain liquids or substances that will form a layer on their skins that will isolate the oxygen. You know the fire of triangle? In order to have fire, you need oxygen, fuel, and heat. So if you find fire, remove one of the three triangles and the fire will be put out. And listen, my dear sisters, if you see, for example, fire in the frying pan, don't throw water. Don't do that. Try to cover it. Put a lid on the top of the pot. And by doing that, the oxygen is isolated and the fire will be put out. Or throw something over it, not water, because you are adding more oxygen to it. So Ibn Taymiyyah, he discovered this. And now the sheikh is saying, come on, Ibn Taymiyyah, we are going to enter the fire. And he was telling his disciples, bring the wood, go and collect wood. Ibn Taymiyyah told him, no need. He said, first of all, I am ready to enter, but, and he said to the governor, on the condition that, first of all, they have to take a shower. And their bodies should be rubbed and scrubbed with vinegar and leather. We have to leather their skins with the vinegar. So that chemicals, the film of the deposit and the film of the chemical film will be dissolved, that chemical substance. So he discovered their secret, their tricks. So now they have to run, they want to run away. So he said, let us collect the wood. Go, go. He said, Ibn Taymiyyah said, no, to the governor. No need, Sheikh, no need. Thinking, collecting wood, will take time. You see, this lantern, this flame in front of us, is already there. Bismillah, Sheikh, Bismillah. Oh, Wali, come, Wali, Bismillah. I'm putting my finger, put your finger. Put your finger. No need for your body, only your finger. He refused. So Ibn Taymiyyah exposed the Sufis. And now you're saying Ibn Taymiyyah is a Sufi? Because you know why? They are trying to convince the Muslims that tasawwuf is tazkiyah. This is what they are working on. Tasawwuf is synonymous to tazkiyah, the purification of the soul, reaching the level of ihsan. When in reality, anyone who studies Sufism and studies tasawwuf, it is totally different. But we also, for the sake of argument, we tell them the Prophet ﷺ is the most eloquent, Baligh. What did he describe the tarbiyah and gave it what name? Tasawwuf or tazkiyah? ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. Did Allah say يصوفهم or يزكيهم? Number two. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned Islam, Iman, Ihsan. Why he didn't say tasawwuf? So, whom should we follow? Number one. Secondly, which terminology or word is more accurate and not problematic? Ihsan or tasawwuf? Definitely Ihsan. So why you leave the prophetic expression and you use a problematic terminology? Because you know Sufism exists in many beliefs. It's there, mysticism and the mystics are there. Because of this, they say Sufism is synonymous to the tazkiyah, reaching the level of Ihsan. Then the Prophet is Sufi, Abu Bakr is Sufi, Umar is Sufi, all the Sahaba are Sufis, Ibn Taymiyyah is Sufi, Ibn Qayyim is Sufi. Let them know. The ulama, when they talked about the tasawwuf, for example, Talbis Iblis Ibn al-Jawzi. He just talks about the Sufiyya. Talbis Iblis. The deception of Iblis. About the Sufiyya. Imam Shafi'i said, Man sahiba Sufiyyata 40 yawman. من صاحب الصوفية 40 يوما لم يعد إليه عقله. You need just to be with the Sufis for 40 days and you will lose your mind. You will lose your mind. Why? So he is talking about the Sufis at his time. Those who, he said, تركتوا بغداد وقد ظهر فيها شر. The early Sufis. So if Sufiya tasawwuf, why Shafi'i is attacking them? If it is the synonymous to Ihsan, And then when we look around us, all these Sufi orders, one by one, when we see them and see their what they are doing, you find they are not following the Sunnah of the Prophet. It's not compliant. If someone says, no, the shares, I agree. That's not the correct tasawwuf. No. Actually, those are giving the wrong image about Sufism. Okay, so what is Sufism? Sufism is following Kitab and Sunnah and focus on the heart and purifying the heart. You say, Barakallahu fiqh. This is Islam. This is Islam. This is what the Prophet ﷺ taught his Sahaba. This is what he brought them upon. And the three generations, they went upon that. And the Muslims, they are following the way of the Prophet ﷺ. Yes, so stick to that. Follow the Kitab and Sunnah. And purify your heart according to Kitab and Sunnah. Why you have to listen to your Sheikh? They call him, this is my spiritual mentor, teacher, advisor. I have to tell him, Sheikh, this is what I have, this is this, and he will give me special instructions, set of instructions, and special adhkar. And you follow what he is telling you, and you keep reporting to him, etc. The Prophet's way is not such satisfactory to you. You don't want to follow your Prophet, sallallahu. If you follow him and follow his Sunnah, you will not purify your heart unless you follow this particular sheikh. That's why I think Imam Ahmad said, "Man lam yuzakkihi al-Qur'an, fala zakkahu Allah." Fala zakkahu Allah. So be careful, my dear brothers and sisters, because you hear this. Ibn Taymiyyah Sufi, Ibn Qayyim Sufi, Sufism is tazkiyah. Tazkiyah is tazkiyah. We don't call it Sufism. You want to call it Sufism? That's up to you. Okay? We don't call it. We stick to what Allah called it. Zakiyim, the Prophet called it tazkiyah. The ihsan is ihsan, not Sufism, etc. Okay, that is the karama. So the karama is performed upon the hand of a pious, righteous person, that's fine. And in the three generations, the karamat were less. Later on, karamat became more because the people's iman became weak. And then another thing which is called istidraj, the istidraj. And this is done upon the hands of magicians. This magician, he performs many things. Supernatural. But this is istidraj. Allah is pulling their legs, like Musaylam al-Kadhdhab and the like. This brings us to the end of the Mas'ala number 20. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all the Muslims to the Haqq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast in this beautiful deed until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and find Him pleased with all of us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficent knowledge of righteous deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults faults and mistakes and ignorance, and may Allah unite our Ummah on the Haqq. May Allah unite our hearts on the Haqq, on the Haqq. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khaira, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ameen wa alaikum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sheikh, let me know when you have received the first question.
1 minute. Yes, Shafi, go ahead.
Question number one, are there really miracles of the numbers in the Quran that the subcontinent Muslims always speak about?
No, this is one of the bid'ah. This, the numerical miracles in the Quran. No. Next.
Sheikh, we haven't received any other questions. So if you're happy, we can end it here. Jazakallah khair for everyone's attending. May Allah accept it. Barakallah fikum. I'll hand it back to the Sheikh to conclude the lesson. Barakallah fikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah reward all of you immensely for your patience and attendance. And until inshallah, we see you in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company and protection. Fi hifdhillah wa rahayatihi. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.